aspect. I'm not going to tell you it's Eli Yad Betshuva and that you have to Shiri of Mashgiach. I'm not the one to give Mutsa. I'm talking about the halachic aspects. So we mentioned last time the Ben Ishchai complained that it became like a minig of puppets. People go out before Shoshana and Purim Kippur, Yemoichel, Yemoichel, Yemoichel. People just ask it stam like it's a joke. And Lemaisi says that if a person has seichel, you have to ask mechila for your father, you have to ask mechila for your mother, you have to ask mechila for your Rebbe, because these people, during the whole year, you have connections with them. It's not shaykh that you weren't pegay in their covet. These people don't ask mechila. They think, man, these beseder and sold them like that. No, these are people you have to ask mikra din mechila.
So your parents and...
Parents, Rebbeim.
Wouldn't it be more that you should ask them over anyone else?
That's what he's saying. He's saying these are the people you should be asking, people you shouldn't ask. These people are saying, it became like a joke. And the people that you should be asking, people don't bother. They think, yeah, my father, my mother, he has no time to ask me. But the fact is that you have to have this chiv der cheretz. Anytime you say something or do something which is not respectful, you're being a bedraisa. So, Badi, you should be asking mechila. Also mentioned is a Sfas Emes that says, even if a person is mad at you for no reason whatsoever, you know that he's angry at you. You know he's wrong. He thinks that you said something bad. He thinks he took his money, whatever. You're still supposed to go to him before Yom Kippur, and better yet, before Shoshana, and tell the guy, I know you have tainas on me, X, Y, Z. It's not exactly what happened. I think you're wrong, but in any event, if you do think I did something against you, I'm telling you, I'm asking machila, even though I don't think anything wrong. But you should ask machila. And if a person doesn't do that, then there's a taina on him, because if you know that someone has something against you, you're supposed to be asking machila. Now, we mentioned last time about how you have to be careful. There's the famous machlekes between the Chofetz Chaim and the Rishon Lezion, which cost the Chofetz Chaim a skoma on the sefer. According to one girsa in Me'adon Zmanim, the Chofetz Chaim sent his sefer to Rishon Lezion for a skoma. Rishon Lezion liked the sefer, but he found one thing he didn't like. What was the one thing? In Tov Reish Vav. Chofetz Chaim holds, if I did something to you, let's say I told behind your back, I told people this guy's a chazer. Okay? So now, what's going to happen after this machila? You don't know about it. Less man the polig, if I said something to a guy, I told a guy, this guy's a chazer, and afterwards I changed it, no damage was done whatsoever. No reason I should go to you and ask machila, because I undid the damage that was done, and you didn't have any nezik. But let's say I told certain people that he's a chazer, or let's say people asked about him for a shidduch, and I said he wakes up late, or I said that he doesn't learn, I said something which is not nice, right? So here, we have an interesting machlokes. The Chofetz Chaim held that I have a chiyuv to ask mechila. So now we got a little bit of a conflict over here, what to do. On the one hand, I want to ask mechila, I'm a chiyuv to ask mechila. And we said that if a person doesn't get mechila, b'nod l'chaveroi, so then he doesn't get any mechila b'shamayim. And not just the b'nod l'chaveroi aspect. Anytime I do something which is b'nod l'chaveroi, there's the shamayim aspect, b'nod l'mokim, and b'nod l'chaveroi. Like Moshe, I stole from somebody. There's b'nod l'chaveroi. But there's also the signal of papi shamayim. A lot of Achronim learn that if I don't ask mechila for the guy for stealing from him, it's not just I don't get mechila for the ben odin chaver aspect. I don't get mechila from the ben odin lemokim aspect also. Why should not be mechila until I take care of my responsibility with him? So now I have to go to him and tell him I told someone he asked about shidduchim. I said you wake up late. I said you're a chazer or something like that. When I tell him that, I'm insulting him right now. So you have to weigh right now which is the better thing to do. Should I do my obligation and get mechila, even though I'm going to have to insult him right now? Try to water it down. Well, I didn't say it that bad, whatever. Or, no, I have no right to insult him because I need something for myself. I'm an idiot that I talked bad against him. I can't go now and ask mechila and insult him right now for my sake. The Chofetz Chaim said, I do have to ask mechila. He says it. And even though there's a shtickle steer in other places in Mashmi, you can't insult him. But the pashas is that the Chofetz Chaim writes, I have to do my job to get mechila, even if the guy is going to be hurt that he finds out what I said. Rishon Lezion just said, Mapitom, who says I have a right to insult him now and hurt his feelings? I got to do whatever I can to undo the Lashon Hara I said. But who says I have a right to insult him right now for my talus? My talus is I should get mechila, but he has to pay the price? Because of that shtickle, he didn't want to give us come. That's how the story goes. You have some very interesting cases, which are, what?
Even if, you know, saying the person who's going to ask for mechila is also going to be embarrassed. That's not going to...
He is getting embarrassed, but at the same time, he's also hurting the feelings of the person that he's asking mechila from. Who's not allowed to do that?
When asking for mechila, you can't just say, like, you might hold me for anything I've done.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay, what you're saying, Rabbi Shaul Salanter says something like that. Rabbi Shaul Salanter says, in this situation over here, generally speaking, Avada, if I ask you for mechila, you'll say what? Whoa, muffin klali. No. Why should you give mechila if you know what I did? In this case over here, Rabbi Shaul Salanter said that I'm not allowed to go and tell you what I did because you hurt my feelings. I'm going to hurt your feelings right now. So I should just say, let me ask you in general in case I did anything during the year against you. Which is not so ayayay. It's better than nothing. And the Chavetz Chaim is saying no. Just like any time you ask mechila, you have to tell the guy what you asked mechila for. Here also, I have to try to water it down. Well, it wasn't so bad. He might have taken it seriously, but I got to tell him exactly what I did. That's a major machlekes. And you have some very wild cases. There's an interesting, if you look in Hilchos Yom Kippur, in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you a bunch of marmakayimus of different cases that happen. And there are several interesting cases that are brought down there. Sometimes where a guy is not guilty. Like a woman that was nursing her kid, and she fell asleep, and she rolled over and Nebuch suffocated the kid. And this child is brought down several times in the Paiska. After the Kach, the Paiska must say that a woman should be very careful when she's nursing a kid not to go to sleep. Because you're always taking that chance. You can roll on the kid. I don't know if it's mundane, these things happen, but it seems to have happened a lot then because it's brought down in the Paiska. They have another case where somebody sent his worker go to Hong Kong and sell my merchandise, and the guy got killed by some pirates or something like that. Some cases the guy's not exactly guilty, and he still has to do mechila because after all said and done, he is the person that was good, even by kifin that someone was hurt or damaged or killed. But then you have this like a very interesting case. The Mishnah Berurah brings down ayin here and ayin there, a bunch of different cases to look up. In one place, he's telling you to look up what is the tshuva that's done bizmanenu. We don't have karbonis, we don't have malchus. What do we do to do tshuva today? So one place he tells you look at the Noid Yehuda in Simon Lamed Hay, Orachaim, Madura Kam, and Simon Lamed Hay. Most people don't bother looking it up. If you look it up, you find a very, should I say, a juicy story. Which Mustan Mishnah Berurah wasn't going to print that, but it's amazing how people get messed up. The Maisa Shoy over there is like this, that a person was Mazana with an Eish Yesish. And from the way the Noid Yehuda writes them, it sounds like the person was a Talmud Chacham. But he was Mazana with an Eish Yesish. Many, many years later, no one caught them. Life went on. If you're familiar with the Halacha, if a person is Mazan with Eish Yesish, afterwards, when they find out about it, so this woman is Osir Leboyla, but Osir Lebaila. She cannot remain married with her present husband, and she also cannot marry the guy who's Mazan with her. Right, but that's, you can get caught. This person did not get caught. He didn't get caught, and Eish Yesish didn't get caught. 10 years later, he was read at a Shidduch, our good friend, the guy who's Mazan with Eish Yesish. And who's he land up marrying? He's marrying the daughter of this woman he's once Mazana with. That's how the future came out. He's married the daughter of this woman. So now comes the interesting shayla. He's asking the lady Yehuda, I want to be chayza b'tshuva. I know that 10 years ago I was Mazana with Eish Yesish. Should I go now to my father-in-law, now he's my father-in-law, and tell him, by the way, you have to divorce your wife because your wife is an Eish Yesish. And how do I know your wife is an Eish Yesish? How's the guy that did it? Crazy shayla? It's amazing shayla. He's Mazana with a woman, and now later on, this is his mother-in-law, and now he thought.
Have you got the shayla? This was like very brothers.
No, this is Noid Yehuda. Mishabui brings it down in Noid Yehuda. Madura comes a question was 300 years ago that the person who's Mazana is now married to the daughter of Mrs. Eish Yesish. Now he wants to know, is he mechuyev to tell his shver, his father-in-law, by the way, you have to divorce your wife because Eish Yesish. How do I Yesish? I was the one that did it. Now you realize he's not only going to wreck up the Shalom Bayis and wreck the lives of his father-in-law and mother-in-law. I don't know what he's going to do his own Shalom Bayis. If his wife knows right now that because of him, her parents have to be divorced, and they do have to be divorced, what does he got to do? What happened, Shaila? And the Noid Yehuda, Mishnah Berurah doesn't go into the actual case. Because the Mishnah Berurah just wants to show you what is the proper thing to do tshuva. Bismanenu. How do we do tshuva?
Just showing like tshuva cases.
Yeah. So he just tells you look in that case. I'll tell you in a minute what the Noid Yehuda says. But in general, what the halacha over there was, the Noid Yehuda says, you have no choice. You're mechuyev to tell this person because he's living with his wife Be'isser. And every minute you don't tell him, and you've already not told him for many years, every minute you don't tell him, he's being over in the Isur. If you can't do it by yourself, then send somebody else. Run away very far. He might come after you with a bat. I don't know what he's going to do to you, but yeah, you're going to have to tell him. As uncomfortable as going. And you see the way the lady who writes them, that he looks at a mamash like a Talmud Chacham. And he says, it's a terrible thing that a Talmid Chacham was nichshel with Eishes Ish, but you can't avoid the consequences because of the fact that you messed yourself up. Now you married a daughter. It's not going to get you off the hook. You have to tell him and pay the consequences.
Is this the same case with Yehuda and Tamar?
It's not the same case. Why is it the same case?
Because Yehuda also the daughter-in-law also went to father-in-law.
Well, there it's different. There it's not pshat that he was machshel her. If anything, she was machshel him. If anything, he didn't know that it was his son's almon. He didn't know because she covered her face.
Right. Okay. But she did it purposely also.
Right. She knew that she gets her. That's a separate ma'isa. And since we see that they afterwards Molochin came out of there, so that's Menashemayim, the whole story. All these stories in Bereishis, you can't compare it to the aftermath in Torah. But here we're talking about a case which could happen today also. These things happen.
Yeah.
These things happen. The lady who makes a very important point over there. The story, dramatic story.
The lady was trying to get out tshuva out of this case?
Like the lady Yehuda was trying to tell the guy, first of all, he told the guy, definitely you have to tell him the story, and even if it means they're going to get divorced and whatnot, it's going to wreck your life, you have no choice, you have to do it. You can't walk away from things that you did. What exactly should a person do tshuva? Here we don't know what to do. There's no kabbonis today. What are you supposed to do when a person was nichshel, he did something at Shabbos, somebody said, you don't do that, that's bishul. What are you supposed to do today? There's no karbon. You do your chattas. In the times of Bismarck, you bring karbon. There's no chattas. What do you do? So there's what's called Chuvas HaMishkel. Chuvas HaMishkel, the Rizal, had a whole bunch of tikkunim that if a person rolls in the snow, a person puts his hand in a fire, all different things to cause the person tsar, or even to fast, right, which is Bradam Chazal. The lady that says, people make a mistake. They think if you do these ideas, you're guaranteed kapar. He says, it's a big mistake. When the Torah says that if you bring this korban, you get kapara, or if you get malchus, you get kapara, that's guaranteed. The Torah is saying, if you do XYZ, you're mechuper. Now that we don't have karbonis, if the person does these different ayahs of tshuva, there's no guarantee it's going to work. It might, but there's no guarantee. The lady makes that point very clear. So he says, these ideas, rolling in the snow, being mitzayir yourself, it might be the Baruch Hashem is going to look at it and consider it, but there's no guarantees. There are no guarantees. What should a person do? So he tells him he should fast once a week or something like that. He tells him also to say a lot of tilim. He says he should learn all these halachas, all different ideas. It's kedai bismanein when a person wants to do tshuva because he did something wrong. It's kedai to see what the poskim in our times, in the times when this happened, what they say. Like the mashal of this tshuva from Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein has, I think, 5 tshuvas. This is an Orach Chaim, Chelek Daled, Kuf Yud Ches, Kuf Yud Ches, Kuf Chof, Kuf Aleph. He's got 4 or 5 tshuvas. One of them is talking about a guy who is Mazana with Eishes Ish. One is talking about a guy who is Moshe Zerbatola. One is talking about a guy in Mishkav Zohar. Interesting shailas of different sins. And Moshe tells the person what to do. So Bein Ashar, you can see over there, it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah several times that it's not kedai for a person to fast today unless he's up to it and it's not going to affect anybody else. Meaning, if a person is learning yeshiva, he's going to fast, he's not going to learn that day. So it's Yotze Shchar Rav Seid. So therefore, Mishnah Berurah says, a Ben Torah should not be fasting. He has to do tshuva, let him say tilim, let him not eat meat and wine for a few weeks.
Does that include a regular fast day?
Regular fast day is Tainis Tzibur. Tainis Tzibur, we have to fast. You can't get off the hook because you want to be able to learn. That you can't do. But to take upon yourself to fast in order to do tshuva, Moshe says that's not the right thing to do.
And what about these like 10 fasts that there's like a minute to do like before Yom Kippur or Shana?
Okay, so you have to know what is the minute in your yeshiva. I mean to say there is something like that brought down the poiskim. You didn't create it. Like, but at the same time, being that you're not machiv to do that, you're going to have to figure out. And if you can't figure out, speak to someone, speak to Mashgiach, speak to Rosh Yeshiva. Is it kedai to do that, or is it Yotze Shchar Rav Seder? Mustaver to say that a yeshiva guy is going to do that, it's Yotze Shchar Rav Seder. I know in Ksans, by the Shevavim, every Thursday they fast, the Bochum Yeshiva. No other yeshivas do that. But again, each person.
Even nowadays?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they fast. And the Mishnah Berurah seems to be pretty much against fasting when you don't have to, even if there's like a minig of 10 fasts.
Let's say it's a rabbin, like for example, Lisan's yeshiva, so that's a rabbin over there.
Okay, so there they're doing correctly if that is the meaning of their yeshiva, their rebbe, whatever, they're doing what they're told to do. But for one of us, we should not be doing that if that's not, like a mashal. Let's say the Gedolim say that we have to fast because XYZ certain thing happened. You see, sometimes they make a fast, or for Sefer Torah, that's a different story. But as a rule, a person should not do these things on his own. And the Mishnah Berurah makes the point that when a person fasts, he's basically knocking out that day. Agav, it's brought that when you fast, you're supposed to give money to tzedakah, and the Marshal says the amount of money that you're saving by not eating. Because if I'm saving money by not paying for my meals, so it's true, it's not geshmak to fast. But on the other hand, you're getting money back in return, so it's not so serious, you're fasting. So the Chabad Chaim writes down, brings the Marshal, they should give at least the amount of tzedakah, the amount that you're saving. Otherwise it cancels out, you know, that would too much schar. But the price can bring down that a person should learn, the basic idea of what's called tshuva. There's a Mardik Rambam, famous Lashon and Perek Beis Vichas tshuva, that he has to have charota to the point that the Yadea Talumais, i.e. the Rabbi Hashem, is made that this person will never do that sin again. So let's say a guy he stole money, right? He's got to do tshuva, learn over the halachas of Gezel. That's one of the tikkun. Learn over, just like Mar says, that we learned in the Megillah, the Flamer Aleph, that even though Bizman Tainach Basim Megdash Kaim, Bizman Shainim Basim Megdash Kaim, what do we do? We have no Kabbonis. So the Mar says, the Bernstein tells Avraham Avinu, I give you Aftocha, that if a person learns the halachas of the Kabbonis, Malo Vakosav Ki'ilu Ikrivim. You can learn the Kabbonis, and it's as if you're Makar. The same thing when you learn Hilchos Shabbos. If a person did something wrong Hilchos Shabbos, so you should learn over those halachas. Preferably, mamash, they think he made a mistake. He made a mistake in Bishul. It's not real because Bishul. And Seba Pemoli Amizvada, that I have charot, I did the sin. If he's makabal himself, that he's not going to do it again to the degree that the Adea Tulumis is made, that he's not going to do it again, that's the biggest tshuva. That's the Lashon Rambam. That's the biggest tshuva.
And that's like the best?
That's the best, yeah. As I said, if you learn over those halachas, that's going to help also. Certainly, if you teach other people those halachas, that's the best we can do today. We don't have much of a choice. But to go making fast and whatnot, the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, points out, he says that I saw in a certain sefer, he doesn't remember where, that if you make a tainus dibur, that's worth a lot more than fasting. And he says he doesn't remember where he saw it. And I do remember where he saw it, because I found it in a different sefer, Chavetz Chaim. And I think it's the Zechar Lemiriam. He found this little sefer called Givas Pinchas, it's a Talmud Goyin, and he brings down over there this idea that a tainus dibur is much more effective than regular tainus. So that's a great thing to do. But there again, you do tainus dibur in the middle of the yeshiva, it's not so easy. I can talk to people, you make a show out of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the smartest thing to do.
Why would tainus dibur be more?
That's what he says. The tainus dibur is more. Because maybe because of the fact that by a regular tainus, I can't tell you this for a fact, that it's the reason, I'm just thinking theoretically, maybe because when you have a regular tainus, you're not going to do 200 mitzvahs, you're not going to learn too much, you have no koichas. Whereas the tainus dibur, you're working on your midas, but there's no reason you should learn less or daven less, everything will be fine. But you gotta know, Roshon Shvadron, it's Yidua that every Elul, he's like a Mashgiach Hashiva. Elul, he didn't talk to anybody, he had a tainus dibur year after year. Okay, he was a Choshu Yid, he was in Yeshiva, and he didn't talk to people, only in Tshuva, whatever.
Like, I know there's a thing on Yom Kippur, like people have a thing, tainus dibur or whatever.
On Yom Kippur itself?
On Yom Kippur.
It's easier on Yom Kippur than a different day, because you're davening most of the day anyway.
I've heard plenty of people do tainus dibur.
Okay. Yom Kippur. I never saw it brought down, but I hear it's a great thing to do. It's certainly, if you're not Isaac in Sichas Chum, that's a great thing to do. You have to know how it's going to affect other people. Like in Moshe Feinstein talks about this woman that was Mizana. Give you an example. A case of a woman that's Mizana, and now she wants to get married. She wants to do tshuva, she wants to marry Ben Torah. So she asks for Moshe, is part of the tshuva that she has to tell the guy that she was Mazana when she was single. And Moshe tells her, not the easiest thing to do, you do that, you're not going to get married, you remain single, you know. That's not a smart thing to do either. So he says, on the other hand, you can't not tell a person, it's a question of Mekich Tois. So Moshe says, don't say anything. You do your chuchu, and the Moshe will help you, Shelty must be able to get a good shidduch. When it comes to Moshe, if the guy wants to marry you, and you're discussing actually getting married, then you can point at Derech Agav, I want you to know that once upon a time, when I wasn't careful, I did this and this chait, I was Mazana, X, Y, Z, and then Ramosha says a psakti, which I remember I have to use all the time in Eshet Torah. What do you do when you have a balas tshuva, or a person not a balas tshuva, or a person was once Mazana? When you write a ksuba, if a person is a psula, it's 200 zuz. If it's a ba'ula, it's 100 zuz. It's a little bit embarrassing to announce that it's 100 zuz when you see a girl getting married for the first time. You're basically announcing Ram, she's not a psula.
People pay attention to that?
Huh?
When they say?
People pay attention to everything. It's Kriyas HaKtuva. It's being read out loud. You could mumble jumble, blah, 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 yeah, but it's read out loud.
It has to be read out loud?
No. But it is. If you had that problem.
That became like the minhag?
It became the minhag, yeah. But you if you're really stuck, I would tell the guy to mumble jumble it. I'll tell you an interesting question about Pigdon and Ben, which is similar to that. Ramosha says that as long as the person knows about it, that she's a ba'ula, there's no problem if you write that 200. That means to say, I'm willing to pay 200, even though I'll pay then I can get away with 100. I want to be nice to her. Okay? So if the Peshad is, Ramosha writes, if the Peshad is, he's unaware of it. Okay? If he's unaware of it, now if he puts down, I'm giving 200, and it's a mechtois, he can get divorced the mechtois. But if he's aware of it, in Eshet Torah, we're talking about Jews. It's like standard that the girl's not a psula. Okay, so in that case, he usually knows. I used to always make sure that they knew about it before in this halacha. I'm not going to tell her, oh, by the way, it's your psula, but I'm not going to answer that. But I tell them, by the way, there's halacha so and so, they have to write that 200. And in case you know about it, you can write that 100. What you gain basically is that you don't have to discuss it. People hear 200, no one knows what's behind it. But as long as he knows about it, it's not a problem. If he doesn't know about it, you're asking for trouble. Could be the whole Kedush is Nachal to make a toys. Like a partner, Moshe writes down, don't tell him about it right away. Before you get engaged, when he's talking about getting married, then mention it. If he knows all of your miles till then, and I heard this from Shlomo Zalman, and got a lot of things. What do you do if a person has, let's say the person, his mother is not exactly known there. Or you have a case where this person, when he was a kid, he had rheumatic fever. There's all these different concerns. There's a whole klom in the Chavetz Chaim and Klal test, what you do have to speak out, you don't have to speak out, what someone should say, what someone shouldn't say. But Shlomo Zalman said, if the schayer itself is a sick guy, or he's a mental guy, you have to say it right away. But if it's something which the guy's beseder, but there are certain zaitigazach, certain side things, which might distract the person and not be interested, shira. Don't you have to announce it right away, then you won't get married altogether. After you've met several times, then you say it. So that sheet is used for a lot of different problems when it comes to shidduchim. You do have to say it. There are certain things you have to say altogether. I've had to ask, before my kids got married, one of my kids once had a certain surgery. It was with his back, whatever. And I wasn't sure whether I have to say that to the other side, that he wants to have problems with the back. And I was given a psych then, as long as he's been 100% for a while since then, and a person looks at him, he doesn't see any shinui, you don't have to say anything. Okay, there's certain cases you don't have to mention anything. There's certain cases you have to say right before you even start. Let's say someone has a heart condition. You can't hold that back. You have to tell people right away. Or a person has a contagious disease. Or a woman can't have kids. You can't push those things off. You have to say right away. And in a lot of cases, I, as an outsider, have to say this to the person asking about the information. Because if you don't say it, you're misleading him. Again, a lot of people have this joke in their heads. They think that you should do whatever you can to make a shidduch happen. Don't say anything nasty, right? Otherwise, the shidduch might happen. It's a shtus. On the contrary, very often it's better the shidduch shouldn't happen. You're not being a nice guy by letting the shidduch happen. That's a big mistake people make. I told the guys in my shir, I had a shayla once years ago in Eshetar. Crazy problem. I had a guy in my shir that was a Baal Tshuva. He already gotten smicha in Eshetar days. And he was an oral. Well, shayla was an oral. They made the bris. His parents were fry. The bris was not done properly. He knew it wasn't done properly. They sent him then to Mashver, who was a big male then. And Mashver told him, you gotta do bris again. But he didn't want to do it with Mashver. He had to take a surgery, whatever. He found somebody to do it with him. He was in the mikveh. Somebody told him, you're oral. What guys are doing looking in the mikveh. A person, you know, his meal is done properly or not. I don't know. But somebody told him. He went to Mashver. Mashver told him, yeah. Even though he did a second bris, he's still oral. He went to Rabbi Asher. You have to do bris again. Sure. I went to Rabbi Asher and asked Rabbi Asher, when people asked me about this guy, he was a very accomplished guy, he had smicha, he good stuff, do I not have to tell them that the guy is an oral? Is that not a big moom that a guy is an oral? It's like a guy's missing a finger, it's worse. Okay. It's not just for a Corby kid, he's a mamash, but oral. Who wants to marry a guy's an oral? Like a shagitz, you know? And Rabbi Asher thought for a minute, Rabbi Asher said, he didn't have a clear answer for me. He told me, tell him that you asked me. And I said that it's very yitochen that you do have to tell us the people. And being that it's very yitochen that I do have to tell people, she's going to mess himself up, it's kedai, you should take care of it right away. And he accepted the psak, and he made himself bris number 3. He got done the third time, and it was done properly. Sometimes you have to speak these things out.
Oh.
But these, each of these cases are questions you have to ask. Now just a one more interesting idea. A cotton. What happens if you were mazik a cotton, you insulted a cotton? What's the halacha? So there's some places like Nissen Kreltz who say, you can ask Mechila for a cotton. If I'm mazik a cotton, I have to pay him. If the cotton does something to me, he's off the hook. The Mishnah says in Bamatzia Peizayin, Shkershet v'kotten v'giyosan ra. If I'm mazik him, I gotta pay. He's mazik me, he's off the hook. And he can't be mechayev the father either. But a cotton, the Rekunin is in Krelitz, if you hurt a cotton's feelings, cotton can be moichel. Reyasher held no. Reyasher said a cotton cannot be moichel. So it's kedai anyway to ask him now as a cotton, are you moichel me? But later on, he becomes 13, you gotta go back again and get a real mechiva. Which is a very interesting psak.
This is Reyasher that says this?
Yeah, Reyasher. Yeah, Reyasher's printed in the Kovitz Shuvas.
You let ask him out, he doesn't have das.
It's not that he doesn't have das. I mean, you could say Monashach. If he's so stupid, he can't give Mechila, how did I insult him? Right. Why am I chayiv? Why I insulted him? It means to say he is a bar das, so then why can't he be moichel me? It's a very interesting metzius over here. Riash is saying you have to ask Mechila, but you can't rely on that Mechila, and later on you have to ask again. What happens if I was mazik when I was a cotton? That's another problem. I remember when I was a kid.
You have to ask at 13?
What?
You have to ask at bar mitzvah?
Technically, no. When you do something, when you're caught in your potter. But you can get an Einish B'day Shemayim, even though B'day Yom can't. And it's Kedai Tzchinuch that the father should take care of it. So for Marshall, my kid went and his playing ball and he smashed a window, which did happen more than once. Or he was driving his bicycle and he drove it into the glass window in the Knesset. These things happen. Kid's potter. Can he come to me? No. The father, the person, the Nizik cannot come to me. I'm potter. Cotton's potter? I'm potter. But Mishabur brings down the Shimon Gimel, then the Hechel Shabbos, it's Kedai for me to take care of it. Why? A is because B'din HaShemayim, even though he was a cotton, he can one day be held Achroi. Not like a Godel, but he can get an Oynish. And this way, he took care of it. And Beis is Al Tzchinuch. A kitchen, though, when you're mazik something, you have to pay. And even though he can't pay right now, I'm doing it for him. So it's Kedai to pay. But if you're coming to me that my son broke your window, if I want to do the proper thing, I'll pay for it. I don't want it. You can't do anything about it. I'm not mechuyav to pay. I'll be there. It's good to know that. It's very important to know that. And bichlal, when it comes to a cotton in general, people are very not aware what you have to do. A cotton has to know that anytime he's mazik somebody, there's a price to it. There's a consequence. If you're not going to tell him that, he'll just keep on being mazik. Okay. Any questions? Anything interesting? No questions. Okay. We'll stop here. Good night.